You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lowe's has the brands pros trust to get the job done. You can now shop new Catalyst fencing solutions and save big when you do. 10% off when you buy in bulk. Plus, save $180 on a DeWalt 12-inch dual bevel sliding compound miter saw. Now just $449. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/6 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, and our man this time of year, doing the legwork, working hard, getting ready for the NFL draft coming up here. And what the Titans are going to do at number one overall. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. What's going on, fellas?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, you can rest easy because Rex Road has figured it out. Rex Road has determined today here on the show what the Titans need to do at number one overall. He's going Travis Hunter, and he believes that Travis Hunter is going to be an elite cornerback in the NFL. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that. He, to me, is the fourth out of the four options, viable ones at number one. But, look, you can never go wrong by adding really good players, and that's what he is. But me personally, if I add him, he is PM, playmaker, man. And we're just going to put a package together, and I'm just going to find ways to get him the football, and I'm going to just say, hey, man, I need you to do something to get these people's butts about the seats.
So I thought this might lead to a rare argument between TD and me. But, yeah, like I believe, TD, that – I understand he didn't play a lot of man. I believe that he is going to be a great corner, an elite corner, possibly an all-time corner, and a man-to-man right from day one. So tell me what – I understand, like, what he did in college, but what is it about him that you don't think he can be that level of man corner?
Well, it's not really something where I say I don't think. I don't think he is. I don't think he could be a Hall of Fame level player. I think he could be a good player. I'm just curious. So for me, if I take a guy number one overall, I need some degree of proven excellence, right? And I think with Travis Hunter, to me, the proven excellence that he has is that he could play well on both sides of the ball. But I don't think that's going to happen in the league. And just, you know, when I watch him, again, I'll keep pointing to the Arizona game, and that was a really tough game for him. You know, and he went against a guy who's going to play on Sundays in Ted McMillan. And he lost a lot in that. So I don't have as much faith in him at corner being a top five player in the league, period. There's still a lot to be proven, you know, and he played a lot of off. And I like in zone, like, this dude is awesome. I remember the first game of Colorado, man. Like, he came off this route that was kind of trying to carry him out of the zone where the slant was coming underneath. And he came off and then dove and picked it off. And I was like, that was a tremendous play.
Yeah.
That was against TCU. But I don't vision him as much of a corner as I vision him at, you know, receiver, returner. But above all else, if I'm going non-quarterback, that guy, Abdul Carter, remember that old commercial where Dennis Hopper was like, I see bad things. He's a bad man. Remember on Bruce Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Abdul Carter.
Bruce Smith. Oh, okay. All right. Well, So that's first of all, the Hunter stuff.
I'm not saying,
I'm not saying
Abdul Carter is Bruce Smith. I'm just saying that the commercial. Yeah, remember the commercial?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do. Man. But I thought you were also making that link. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh no.
Well, yeah. So it is so fascinating with Hunter, like the variance of opinion on that. On which side does he play both? I agree. Like, I think it's totally like we should all be able to agree. Like, if you try to play heavily on both sides in this league, you will get hurt. And especially, I mean, he's not big. He's not a huge guy. So, yeah. But it's just fascinating the difference in opinion there. I would, like I said this too, if you tell me that Carter and Hunter are the same level of player, like at their respective positions, I'm going Carter. So what, right. so at this point, what is the, cause obviously a lot of the person stuff is obvious cause it's Penn State guys. That's lofty, but who would be your closest comp in your mind for him?
Yeah, I haven't really been able to come up with that, you know, outside of Michael Parsons. I haven't really been able to come up with one to kind of like describe his play, so to speak. Maybe Hassan Reddick, you know, at his peak, you know, a guy that comes off the ball really well, a guy that sets the edge, a guy that, you know, will run down plays to the opposite side of the line, you know, those types of things. That's one that kind of pops in my mind. But the Micah Parsons one is just uncanny to me, and just the way they both get off the football. And let me tell you this, right? He's working out down in Plano, Texas at Exos, right, with Brent Callaway. Now, I'm going to tell you about Brent Callaway. That's a good friend of mine. But you look over the years, like the last 5 years, maybe 6 years or so, a lot of the top times that were run at the combine, those guys worked with Brent. I went down there right after, you know, the day before, I flew back up here from East West Shrine. And I went through there. He had some guys there. But Abdul Carter is working out with him. Abdul wasn't there when I got there. But Brent had – remember Montez Sweat ran the 4.4?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Brian Burns put on 15 pounds and managed to shave like 0.3 off his 40? Mm. Those they worked with Brent Callaway. So I say all that to say – I wouldn't be surprised if Abdul Carter runs a dumb time and just blows up the workouts there in Indy.
TD, you bring up Tet McMillan. So we'll see what happens with the Titans and the number one overall pick. If somebody decides to trade down with them, we'll see how far down they go. But how do you view McMillan and really just this year's of receivers towards the top in general, whether that's McMillan, you could throw Hunter in there, you could throw Luther Burden in there. How do you view kind of that top class of receivers this year?
Yeah, well, Luther Burden is favorite receiver in this class. I'm not saying he's the best. He's my favorite. He was guilty of just not getting the football, and he had a lot of plays called back. I don't know. For some reason, he and Brady Cook, they couldn't connect. But he's a guy that, you know, a yards after catch specialist. He's built like a running back, 5'11", 205. And he's someone that, you know, 2 years ago, people said he could only play the slot. He showed last year that he could do both. I really like him as a player. He's also training there in Exos in Plano, as is Matthew Golden. But Tet McMillan, he's so intriguing because you see all of the traits, you see the production, and this dude, like, he was boogieing. You know what I mean? He had a great couple years. I just want to watch him a little bit more. I was saying this yesterday. There are times where, you know, the ball's not going his way, and he kind of dogs it a little bit. And I just want to – I saw that in two games. I want to watch a couple more. I never form an opinion just off a couple games because you never know what the guy's going through, if he's sick, whatever. So I do like him as a player. And like I said, he ate Travis Hunter's lunch. You know, and he's a guy that has the size. He reminds me a lot of like a T. Higgins vertical player where you just line him up at X and you let him go down the field and you throw it up and you just say, go get it. But also work in the middle of the field on those deep in-breaking routes.
So, combine next week, right? Combine next week with Titans. Am I off a week? Is it combine?
No, you're on.
Yeah, so next week the Titans. You're going to be camping out outside, aren't you?
I'm going to miss it this year.
Hey, listen, man. I'm having trouble sleeping. I'm so excited about that.
See?
Man.
Look at this guy. I tell you what, man. No one, everybody, the Titans always talk about, like, Vrabel love ball. No, but they don't love. TD should be the example.
I agree.
If you love ball like TD, then you can be in this league. So when the Titans talk, TD, what is the most interesting storyline, question to ask, answer you want to hear? Like, what are you most excited about or interested in hearing from them or asking them?
My big thing is balancing out wanting to acquire more picks versus needing to acquire more blue chip elite level players. Because if you look at that roster, you know, I said on Power Hour yesterday, Jeffrey Simmons is probably the only one you would consider like an elite level player. You need more than that, you know? So that would be my question, because obviously we know they want to trade back. We know they want picks, et cetera, but how far back can you do it and still get a player? And how do you weigh, you know, taking out chances? Cause I mean, at the number one pick, you know, your chances of getting a top level player are as high as possible, obviously, cause you have to pick for the litter.
TD, where do you come down on Trey Smith? Would you be willing to, if you're the Titans, throw somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million per season his way this offseason?
This is something else that Jared and I talked about. And Jared is still not up to the importance of the guard, center, guard trio.
Or
of the interior pass rush. So, you know, we kind of went back and forth. I think Trey Smith is worth that money, just because what he does to your run game. And I think he's worth that money because of his – like, he's a premier-level interior guy. And we saw guys get paid last year. Now, I'll say this, because I asked Jared the same thing, right? Tony Pollard, he had, what, three runs of 30 yards or more. Do you know who paved the way, who had the key block to sprague him for two of them?
Dylan Raiditz?
Bingo.
Boom.
And so that, to me, shows you the importance of the interior offense. Now, of course, on those two runs, he pulled and he blew up the end. But still, it shows me, you know, the importance. Go back and look at the Eagles game against the Chiefs. It shows the importance of the interior pass rush. Jalen Carter was having his way, you know, and not all of it was against Trey Smith. He beat him a couple of times, but not all against him. And then you look at the Chiefs game against the Bucks. Vita Vea was a big factor in that. So collapsing the pocket is very important. Being able to stop teams from doing it is important too. So I say that's a long-winded way of saying that Trey Smith would be a really good acquisition. And you know what? I would table that, right? I would match that by going out and signing Morgan Moses. And I know he's old, but that going every time that dude is available, I've said the Titans need to get him. They don't get him, and he goes somewhere, and he helps solidify the offensive line. Go get him, Chad. Go get him, Mike Borgonzi. He is the guy that will help you guys at right tackle and solidify that position for a couple years.
I love it. TD, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. And have a good weekend. Enjoy the combine. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure, man. I never met a day I didn't like, man. No bad days. So.
Absolutely. Beautiful. No doubt about it. Teron Davenport with us every Friday morning here on the program at 8 o'clock. Sharing in Joe Rex Road's enthusiasm for the NFL Combine. We'll react to what TD had to say coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Look, Joe, I'm in a conundrum right now because there are two people whose football opinions I greatly respect, and you and Teron Davenport. And I feel like you could not view the Travis Hunter playing corner at the NFL much more differently than you do right now.
Well, now let's be clear. He deserves more respect, and he does. I mean, he does way more than I do on this. So, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of attaching my opinion to others who, like him, really grind on this stuff and really dig in on it. But it is fascinating. And I've been, you know, again, like Nick Baumgartner, we had him on. PK and I had him on That was last week, right? Was that 2 weeks ago?
It was last week.
God, my brain is so. Whew. Nick, you know what you were talking about earlier?
Was it before or after you were espousing your Four Nations baggy takes?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't possibly tell you that. But Nick Baumgartner, you know, friend of the show, one of our draft analysts at The Athletic, does a great job. But again, he is as familiar with Charles Woodson as anybody, and was like, "This guy's Charles Woodson." I'm like, "Okay." I mean, that's like, as soon as he said that, I'm like, "Okay, man. I'm in on this." Okay, but listen, what TD makes a compelling case there. You know, Tet McMillan, he said he had his lunch in that game. I mean, that's got to be some, you know, does that not have to be some pretty important information? It
sure
would seem to be. I'm going to go to Dane Brugler, friend of the show also, our lead draft analyst. He's got his big board, top 100 prospects. Number one, Travis Hunter. Number two, Abdul Carter. Here's what he says about Travis Hunter. Hunter ranked number one. Nothing's changed. He doesn't have the top spot because he can play both ways. That's more of a bonus. His athleticism, length, and ball instincts are why he's here, and those traits give him a sky-high ceiling at cornerback. But again, this is something that I want to do next week, and I will do, is really start to try to figure out like whose team receiver, whose team corner. Because I think we can all agree, if your team, because he plays both, he should go number one. I think you're on the. That's a bad team. He's not going to do that. Okay. You can't do it in this league.
Let me read you from Mel Kiper's latest big board that he threw out there. He's got Hunter at number one. He says Hunter has a great feel for the game on offense and defense. He played a whopping 1,458 snaps over 13 games this season. I really think he's got a chance to play both sides of the ball early in his career and make an impact both ways, though I'm ranking him as a receiver right now. This is from Mel Kiper.
Man. And that is, I mean, the fact that someone would rank him number one as a receiver is, man. That's why, and again, that to me, I don't see that. I think he's great. I think he can absolutely make plays this league. If he came into the NFL as a dedicated, he's just a receiver, I think he'd be a receiver who could be very productive and you'd be very happy to have him on your team. I happen to think the ceiling, again, like Brugler here, is at corner. The ceiling that's incredibly high is at corner. But, again,
what I said to start the show. Like, it's really interesting how different people's opinions are on this.
Yeah. That makes it so intriguing if you think that draft analysts – different draft analysts think he's actually that level of player at either one.
Yeah.
Again, though, he's not. Like, he's just not going to. And I just feel like also, if you want to talk about the extra bus, I've heard some people say it's like getting 1.5 players. I just don't see. Like, I don't see how you're a half player at corner, you know? Half player at receiver,
I mean,
yes.
Look, we see, like, guys can come in and play the nickel on occasion, right, and do it sparingly. The problem is, like, in today's league, though,
that's
like the nickel's the base defense, exactly, pretty much.
Right.
So you see it less and less. Like, I'm with you. Like, to me, if he's good enough where you feel like he's one of your best options at corner, then how do you not play him there throughout the whole game? But, look, I could say the same thing at wide receiver, right? Like, that's where it gets into, like, well, how much of both sides of the ball can he really play in the NFL before you start to worry yourself to death about injuries and what that could look like in his career. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah. No, I've never seen anything quite like this, you know, frankly. You know, like with Deion and Charles Woodson, and I know we're talking different eras, but with both of those guys, you know, like it was the same thing in college. They did here and there. Here's a reverse to Deion. You know, punt returns for sure. Deion was incredible. You know, here and there, Charles Woodson, Michigan, you know, runs him on a go route, you know. And, you know, Brian Greasy throwing it to him because Tom Brady wasn't good enough to play in front of Brian Greasy. But, you know, this guy is every freaking snap. And it is amazing. Like, you have to also feel good about his durability, even though he's not going to do that in the NFL. But the fact that he did it does have to make you feel good about that, right?
Yeah.
Abdul Carter from Brugler is, he says, Carter might not have elite size, but his explosiveness is special, allows him to win with initial burst, edge speed, or power through contact. He projects the type of pass rusher that can force offenses to alter their game plan, which sounds great. But is that, again, Micah Parsons? Hassan Reddick is an interesting comp there from TD. I mean, if you could have a lot of years of Hassan Reddick's best, I'd take that.
Absolutely. You know, especially like before joining the Jets and not playing.
All that stuff. Yeah. Yeah, his best. Yeah.
All that stuff as well. Like, so I'm looking on PFF right now, right? Like, they've got their big board as well. They've got Hunter at number one, and they've got him at corner. Like, it's just, it's really interesting how different it is when you look around the way these things are ranked here. It's really funny.
Yeah, like, I feel like there's more that are corner than receiver, but I don't know that for sure. That's going to get – I'm gonna put together these teams. Like, Daniel Jeremiah is a guy who, you know, has been at it for a long time. I think he does a good job, and I'm not even sure. Apparently, he has Hunter going number one, but I'm trying to read as I do the show, which is probably a bad idea. It's hard enough for me to think while I do the show, let alone read while I do the show. Sorry.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Weekend winners coming up next after Joe's lamentation of the way the Pigskin Pick'em season ended. We're into weekend winners starting next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you now on ESPN. 102.5, the game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for the inaugural 2025 edition of the weekend winners competition. Pigskin Pick'em is done. Congratulations to Nick Kieser for his victory. Rex Road, close but no cigar.
Trash.
I was not close, and I will be buying pizza, so we'll see.
I do look forward to eating the pizza, but I have to pay for mine. Sucks.
We'll try to do that next week. We'll see how it goes.
Let's do it.
See how it goes. All right, we begin with the Nashville Predators returning to action tomorrow night, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. The first game back after the Four Nations break. We're going straight up winner here. Kieser, you won the competition in Pigskin Pick'em, so you're up first. Your
all
selection.
Right. They kick off the back-to-back this weekend. I believe there's three left this season, Robbie.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive. But let's go game one, Nashville Predators. I think Eustace Onanen will probably be in net, so give me the Preds in game one.
Ooh, going with the Preds
a little bit
in
of
game one.
Onanen. Yeah, a little bit of retribution maybe from Uso Parsonen. I don't know.
We'll see.
I guess we'll see.
Rex Road, the Predators and the Avs coming up tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena.
So basically you're saying if Saros isn't in goal, you're picking the Preds. Is that what I heard. Is that what I just heard there? Is that accurate?
No comment from Kieser.
Yeah, I'll go Avs.
I'm always, and you'll get, this is going to be a theme in my individual picks later, coming off that tournament, when you got a couple high-level players that were as invested as they were in that tournament, I feel like there's a little bit of a letdown coming. Give me the Preds tomorrow night against the Avalanche. You know, probably no reason why the Predators should win based on the way that things have gone here, but I'm going psychological factor. Preds.
Makes sense.
Win tomorrow. Ole Miss taking on Vanderbilt tomorrow as well in a massive game at Memorial Gym. Joe, we've talked about big stakes for Vanderbilt. They really need this one to end the skid they're on and to get back into the path to making the NCAA tournament. You're up first in this one, Rex Road. Who you got between Ole Miss and Vanderbilt?
Yeah, look, I think Vanderbilt, you know, at home has been very tough this year. Ole Miss is a good team. This is a huge game. Look at Vanderbilt's schedule where they are. They're right on that bubble. I think they're on the right side of the bubble right now, but they're right on it. And there's more tough games ahead. A three-game skid is Auburn, at Tennessee, and at Kentucky. But I think Vanderbilt's going to get it done in a huge game that's going to be a big part of them getting into the NCAA tournament.
Vanderbilt lock. I'm locking down.
Yeah!
Locking down on the Doors. They've played incredible competition over the course of the past three games here. Not that Ole Miss isn't good, but Ole Miss is not Auburn. They're not Tennessee. They're not Kentucky. So give me Vanderbilt at home to get a much-needed win, a big win against Ole Miss. I'm locking down on the Doors. Nick Kieser, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss.
Yeah, hate to be the downer here. I don't think they're going to get it done. They've kind of, you know, not been able to, you know, close the games out lately. I know that Ole Miss, you know, they're coming off of a loss to, I think they played Mississippi State, right?
They lost in the Egg Bowl of basketball.
Oh,
they did.
Man. Well, I think they bounced back from that.
Was Lane there? Probably. Did he throw anything?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Right. Any mustard?
He went on Insta.
Yeah. Rex Road will be on Insta very soon. Tennessee on the road, taking on Texas A&M. I'll start with this one. Give me the Aggies. I think going on the road in that environment, two top 10 teams, number 6 versus number 7 in the matchup, I'll take the Texas A&M Aggies to win the game at home. Nick Kieser, who you got between the Vols and the Aggies?
Yeah, I'm going to be going with the Aggies, and I'm going to make it my lock this weekend over Tennessee. Look, I think it's going to be interesting. Look, and also going down to A&M, they've also only lost one game so far. It's going to be a tough environment for the Vols to go win in.
Joe Rexroad, A&M and Tennessee coming up tomorrow.
All right, I'll be the homer. I think the Vols, this is a defensive, like, if you love defensive basketball, this is a dream matchup.
Can't wait.
And then the rebounding, well, come on. A bunch of SEC games are like 110 to 103.
Awesome. Nice 41-39 matchup.
It won't be that bad. A&M, incredible rebounding team, best offensive rebounding team in the league. But I think Tennessee's defense gets it done.
Going with the Vols on the road against A&M. Back at home on Sunday are the Nashville Predators taking on the New Jersey Devils. Nick Kieser, we begin again with you. Who you got between the Preds and the Devils?
Well, UC Soros will be in net, I would presume, Joe Rexroad, after saying I would think that they would just lose every time he's in the net. But I don't think they will beat the Devils. Give me the Devils on Sunday.
On with the Devils in that matchup. Joe Rexroad, the Devils and the Preds coming up on Sunday.
I'll go with the Preds. Unlike Nick, I don't think that UC Soros is the worst goalie in the league. Give me the Preds.
I will go with the Devils in this matchup as well. It's hard for me to pick the Predators to win both games against the Avs and the Devils this weekend.
Understandably.
So, I mean, look, their schedule, by the way, in all seriousness, it's weird timing. Like, everything's kind of weird right now with coming off the Four Nations. So, it may not necessarily work out this way, but they've got Colorado, New Jersey, Florida, and Winnipeg right off the hop here.
Oh, great.
Oh, good for you guys.
Super.
Some of the best teams in the league.
Some of those teams are injury riddled because of Four Nations.
We'll see. Yeah, like, is I mean, I have no idea. Like, Nathan McKinnon's not hurt, but, like, is I guess he's playing tomorrow. Cale Makar has been hurt, so is he going to play tomorrow? We'll see. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
By the way, speaking of, you know, how about scratching Kyle Connors yesterday? Would that have been nice to have him?
Would you have played him a little bit more than Chris Kreider? Probably would have been a good call there.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Mike Sullivan, what are we doing?
Yep, need a new coach.
We move to
You're fired from all your coaching jobs.
Individual portion of the program. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
Yeah, I won't be in attendance, but I'm going to go with a draw this weekend as Nashville SC kicks off their play, and they go up against the Chicago Fire. They will not have Hani Mukhtar. That's why I'm going with the draw this weekend, to be at least optimistic.
Way to come with the hot take and pick a draw.
Really exciting start for the soccer season to have a draw.
You can hate all you want. I don't care. It's a real thing, and they did it too often last year.
It's definitely a real thing. There's no doubt about that. Rex Strode, your first individual selection.
Well, it's the first one of the year, so I'm going to do a little bit of betting with my heart. I'm excited about Jimmy Butler and my Dubs at the Kings. Kings plus 2.5. Give me the Warriors and make it my lock.
Yeah. I was about to say, Kieser.
Come on, Kieser.
Falling asleep over there. Don't,
you're in there dreaming about soccer draws.
Going with the Warriors minus 2.5 against, by the way, Nick Kieser's beloved Sacramento Kings.
That's right. Ooh, head-to-head.
Big rivalry matchup here. Mm-hmm. Knocking down on that one. Give me the Washington Capitals minus 1.5 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, the Capitals have Ovechkin. They've been playing really well. They don't have a ton of guys that were heavily involved in the Four Nations tournament. You got Crosby coming back. I think Crosby's been battling an injury to get through this, so we'll see if he plays or not. I think the Capitals in good position to run away with this one tomorrow. Give me the Capitals minus the 1.5 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
So tonight, college hoops, you got Marquette at Villanova. I'm going again with a road team. Villanova's getting 1.5. I think Marquette gets it done in Philly.
Going with Marquette against who they're playing?
At Villanova.
At Villanova. Okay, there we go. Nick Kieser, your final individual selection. By the way, it's been brought to our attention.
Made a mistake.
That you picked the wrong game between Nashville SC and Chicago Fire.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that tells you my mind's in the gutter. I'm selling my tickets and I cannot go. So, look, that is my only excuse that I have.
So, who are they playing? New England?
Yes, they are playing the Revolution. Yes.
So, you're still sticking with the draw?
I'm still sticking with it.
The matchup is so different and you're still going to go with the draw.
Yes, I am.
Good gracious. Okay.
Kick that Eric Clapton in, man.
No, I do not need
a You're the one who introduced it to the show today.
You're the one that brought up the reference, but okay. All right, well, I'm going to go with my last game being the Carolina Hurricanes over the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that is on Saturday. I do know that game.
What's the line?
Yeah, I know what the line is because it's my pick too.
Minus what, two?
1.5.
Never mind, that's not what I was looking at.
It's all minus 1.5, right? Leafs minus 1.5, both of you?
It's Carolina minus 1.5.
Oh, Carolina minus
1.5. You going with Carolina?
No, I'm going with the – yeah. Oh, sorry, yes. Golly, yes, mine is in the
first competition of the year, and he's all flustered over here.
Are you doing the same? You got to go against him.
No, I'm actually – I had that pegged. Like, you've got Marner and you've got Matthews playing heavy roles in that game last night. Let down City coming up. I know Jacob Slavin, who, by the way, unbelievable last night for Team USA.
Oh, Slavin, man.
I know he plays for Carolina, but Carolina will be ready to go in this one. Give me Carolina minus the 1.5 against the Leafs.
Slavin maybe, you know, open some eyes about how freaking good he is.
You can make the case. Number one, a couple things. You can make the case he is the best defensive defenseman in the league. And I thought probably also a good reminder that there probably needs to be an award in the NHL given to the best defensive defenseman. If we're just not ever going to consider any of these guys for the Norris Trophy because they don't put up enough offense, that's fine. But let's add another award.
You're right. No, I think that's a great call. When's the last defenseman to win the Norris who was not because of offensive production?
Man, I mean maybe like Mark Giordano, but he had a great year offensively that year. Like I'm not saying offense should not be part of it because I think it should.
Yeah.
But I think we get so caught up in quite frankly, Erik Karlsson has won the Norris Trophy I think 3 times. He's not a very good defensive defenseman.
Right.
But
big numbers.
It's half the game, as you point out in basketball.
It is.
Half the game. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Speaking of the U.S. and Canada, we'll give our thoughts on that coming up next. What a game last night. What a moment. What a week for the sport of hockey. We'll wrap up the show with that next. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game. I got some tickets to give away to the Nashville Celebrity Comic-Con at Nashville Fairgrounds coming up March 1st and March 2nd. A 4-pack of tickets. Be caller 3-615-737-1025 is our phone number. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. What a game last night between U.S. and Canada to close out the Four Nations Tournament. Canada wins 3-2 in overtime. Connor McDavid scoring the game-winning goal. Joe, we talked about it to begin the show. I thought it was a game that lived up to the hype. I thought it was an extremely intense, high-level, great hockey game that we saw last night. And I actually thought, you know, the first two periods, I thought particularly in the second, Canada was really good. And Team USA did a decent job of kind of holding them down. But I thought through two periods, the Canadians were the better team. I thought U.S. was better in the third. I thought U.S. was better in overtime until it ended, right? Like they had – I think Matthews by himself had 3 good looks in overtime. Brady Tkachuk had basically an open net that Bennington somehow got back over and got his glove on. And when Bennington made a couple of those saves, including Matthews like right on the doorstep, I was like, man, you start making these saves in overtime. How often do we see this in hockey where goalies make some huge saves one way and then you go down the other way and it's over quick? And that's what happened. And you leave McDavid all alone in the middle of the ice, he's probably going to make you pay for that. And he did yesterday. But all in all, what a game. What a moment for hockey. And I don't even think the NHL, who organized this thing, could have possibly pictured this going as well as it did.
No, I agree. I don't think the NHL could have pictured this. I'm very interested to see what the ratings look like. Obviously, they were great for the first U.S.-Canada matchup. I do think that I think the way that the first matchup went, I mean, the way that You know, the Kachucks decided to start that thing in Montreal. I think that's part of it too, right? Coming right out swinging, and it's a great rivalry. Watching that game, I was enthralled every second of it. And honestly, that it doesn't happen for me a lot in hockey outside of the Stanley Cup playoffs, you know, and even a lot of that is like once you get to a game seven, you cannot miss it. You get to a game seven, you get to overtime, it's like the most, it's like just living and dying with every shift and every shot and every turnover. And this kind of felt like that for the whole game. It lived up to the hype.
It was awesome. It was a great hockey game. And you had elite-level players totally invested from start to finish, which did not lead to, like, a flurry of scoring chances all night long. Like, it was really tight out there, and it was tough to generate good looks offensively. Now, sometimes the skill just broke through, and they were able to generate some of those looks, but I thought both teams played really well defensively. I mean, we brought up Slavin in the last segment. He was unbelievable last night. Like, some of the blocks that he had, some of the close-offs that he had, some of the just the small things of getting the puck out of trouble.
Well, that penalty kill early, he was
– he's crazy.
Yeah, he made a one play in particular that was like
– yeah, Crosby had an open net, and he just totally – he ripped it away from him. I mean, he was unbelievable last night. And I still think, like, Team USA, when you're dealing with McKinnon and McDavid in particular on the other side and the speed that those guys can generate – I thought they did a really good job of slowing those guys down. Like, McDavid didn't really do anything the whole night until the goal. Now, obviously, the goal is the most important thing. I actually thought he struggled last night. McKinnon had the one goal to start, and then they held him in check pretty well. Like, they actually – I thought the guy that really burned him the most last night was Marner. Like, Marner was all over the place for Canada last night. He was really good.
Marner and Matthews.
Yeah.
Clutch players. Yeah, look, McDavid's goal, and I would expect almost everybody on both teams to like convert that. You get yeah. But of course, what a dream for the Canadian hockey fan that that he's the guy who wins this for you, right?
Well, when the game's over last night, I saw people talking about it on Twitter, and you allow yourself to start to think about it. Winter Olympics is next year. Like, you're gonna have, I think Russia in there. We'll see. You're gonna have the best players from all the countries represented, like Dreisaitl is going to play in that thing, so it's going to be awesome. And then are we going to get either a gold medal match or a significant medal round matchup between Team USA and Team Canada? Because what Saturday was and what last night was, give me more of that. Like, I want more best on best Team Canada, Team USA hockey moving forward.
Yeah, it kind of sets up, I think the cores of both teams should be there. So you got some rivalry going. I mean, a lot of those Canadian guys, they're not like Brady Tkachuk plastering them all over the place and basically getting a shove in at every whistle, at every opportunity he got. But he did it. And that's a guy who, I always think about Matthew Tkachuk, and of course you think about the Preds and how they could have got him. But man, Brady Tkachuk, he's a problem too.
Yeah.
He is a problem. So that will be – I'm super excited for that. By the way, speaking of the Olympics, who's going to be Finland's goalie, starting goalie?
I don't know. Maybe Juuse Saros? Maybe Kevin Lankinen?
The fact that we're questioning that.
I know. It's
unfortunately, it now brings us back to the reality of hockey in Nashville today.
Well, yeah, it's
– sorry.
Well, again, like this is – I mean, we know where the Predators are in the standings. And now we're on the other side of the Four Nations tournament. And the question you have now is like, okay, so when are people going to start getting traded? Like, you know, the deadline's, I believe, March the 7th. So we're getting pretty close here. We've got a couple weeks. Like, when does Barry Trotz start pulling the trigger and making some moves here?
Are we supposed to open these presents before the show ends?
Yeah.
What the heck? What has Nick Kieser done? Like, seriously, is this going to be like a bomb?
He texted us the other day and said he's got some gifts for us.
This looks like a really legit item. Oh my goodness.
He's got a sweater.
Absolutely.
It says, I need a Diet Coke for me.
Well, look at this beautiful thing. This is the most beautiful piece of clothing I think I've ever had.
Wow. Robbie and Rex Road. Keezer, did you just forget Christmas? Like, what's the story behind this?
Wait.
Yeah, I did. So this was in the works for a while, and Joe's is more of an idea that I had lately to change. I know the back is my favorite for Joe's
Sweatshirt,
by the
way. Check your head,
the
back. The three of us are the Beastie Boys with PK included, too.
Yep.
Good stuff.
I think that is the best item I've given a coworker ever.
Well, it's certainly the best Christmas present I've ever received on February 21st.
Yes,
there's
I know.
Doubt about that.
What a great belated present giving time.
Thank you, Nicholas.
This is gorgeous. I'm going to wear this every day. I'm never going to wash it.
I think PK needs one, too.
I think you may be right. And
I'm sure
nothing would warm Kuharsky's heart more than to receive a gift from Nick Keyser.
Why do I have to be King Ed Rock?
And by the way, those images on your sweatshirt, DJ Burnside.
Nice. Thank you, DJ. The gift that keeps on giving to this program.
Beautiful. Thanks, man. Wow, I'm excited. I'm putting this on right now.
Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. We'll be back Monday morning. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.